Sometimes in the collection basket, people leave notes for us. And it's a good way to communicate. They show that we'll get it. And one of the notes I got was from a first grader who wrote, "Father Satish, my mom said I must give part of my money to the church. Now, I don't know how much he gave. I don't know anything. Thank you very much, Michael." My first impression with that as I read the reading today is simply this. In first grade, someone is teaching him, not necessarily to put the money, but there is a connection between your faith and your community. I don't think he gets it, but at least he's being taught. Now, today's readings do exactly that. They bring to our attention two integrally connected dimensions of our faith. Personal dimension of our faith and the communitarian dimension of the faith and how they are connected. So take the first reading, for example. The first reading does not tell us the context why Shebna has been asked not to take the mantle of the Lord. The Lord almost demotes him. There's no reason for it. But there are two people in today's first reading, Shebna and Eliakim. Who are these folks? They were two powerful advisors to King Hezekiah about the year 701 BC. What is their task? The Assyrians were standing around the walls of Judah, ready to destroy the city. And these two men were supposed to go and negotiate with the Assyrians and somehow find a deal. For some reason that Isaiah does not tell us, the Lord says of Shebna, "I will divest you of your power. But you, Eliakim, I will give you the keys of the house of David." Very important. "I will give you the keys of the house of David. When you shut, nobody will open. When you open, nobody will shut." So, because he's faithful, because he pleases God, because there is a personal integrity, God entrusts to him the responsibility or the keys of the community. Personal faith relates to the community. The gospel reading just mirrors this first reading so well. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Christ." The personal confession. But the moment Peter makes the personal confession, Jesus says to Peter, "You are Christ, and upon this rock I will build my church." The communitarian dimension. It almost mirrors what happens in the first reading. Peter's confession, personal confession, leads him to the position as head of the community of God. So I want to keep both these readings in our minds as we figure out, so what does it mean for us? I think three things. First, I want to talk about the church. Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." And the more I read this reading, the more it baffles me that Christ would entrust the church to a man like Peter. Peter did not want to carry the cross. Peter talked much. And Peter betrays the Lord 3 times. Isn't it baffling that knowing this, Jesus would still entrust the keys of the kingdom to Peter? What Jesus promises Peter, in spite of his weakness, is his constant presence. 2,000 years later, it seems to me that the church looks just like Peter. There are times the church does not want to carry its cross. There are times she does not walk the walk. There are times she denies the presence of God through her actions. But the promise that Jesus made to Peter still holds good. The powers of the netherworld shall not stand against it. 2,000 years have passed. Look at us. We sit here as part of the same church. We individually and this parish community, we have our weaknesses. We are not the perfect church, just like Peter was not. But what is it that we can count on? We can count on the words of Christ when he says, "The powers of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." May we today be aware of our weaknesses, aware of our sins, sinfulness. Let us be humble about it so that God can come through us in spite of our weaknesses, both individually and as a parish community. Secondly, Peter's appointment as the head of the church began with a personal confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And here's something else that baffles me. In the midst of his weaknesses, in the midst of his lack of vision, Peter still somehow is able to get in touch with the depths of his being and able to make a confession. I love that part because that is me. I am weak, I am sinful, but I love those moments when in prayer I'm deeply in touch with God and I feel one. Peter is able to do that. Now, this personal confession that Peter makes is crucial because without that personal confession, Christian life is superficial. Every human person, not just Christians, every human person at some point of their lives must answer this question: who do you say that I am? If you, as you were leaving church today, someone had to catch you in the parking lot who doesn't belong to this parish, who's just been curious, and had to ask you the question, "Tell me about this Jesus you just received in communion," what will you say? What is your testimony? What is your faith story? And how central is that faith story to your life? Are you ready to give a testimony, to make a confession? If someone asked you, "Tell me about this Jesus," our faith confession is the first step toward Christian maturity. And here's my third point. As I said earlier, a personal confession of faith is not for its own sake. Along with the passage about this passage that we have in today's gospel reading, where Jesus entrusts the keys to Peter, there is another passage in the Gospel of John where Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." The next thing Jesus says to him is, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Personal confession. If you love me, come on, feed my lambs. So the personal faith is not for its own sake. It always leads people to the community. Our personal confession, our personal testimony should at some point lead us back to the community. We exist for the church as much as the church exists for us. We are as much the church as the church is us. And once we express our personal faith in the community, it leads us back to our personal confession. So, as I look at this parish community, there are so many ways that the community draws us because of our faith. So, for example, for some people, you're not ready or you're not able to go out and do missions, say, for example. But for us, some of us, the best way to serve the community is committed prayer for the church. Everyone can do that. For others, the best way to serve might be a liturgical expression like Eucharistic minister or lector or the choir. For some, it is taking care of the poor or the children or the grieving. For others, it is helping hungry, not necessarily here, but in other parts of the world. For others, it might be contributing time, talent, and treasure. What am I saying? Either way, unless our personal confession leads us to the community and vice versa, we could be lacking in one of these areas. Perhaps we haven't reached Christian maturity if our personal faith doesn't lead us to the community and the community back to our relationship with God. Today's readings tell us, first of all, please, let us be people who have a testimony of our faith. Let us be people who are convinced about our faith. Let us be people who are willing to bear witness to Christ. Secondly, that we are weak in the midst of our personal confession. We acknowledge our weaknesses and allow God to continue because of our confession to lead us to the community. I hope our worship today strengthens us both in our personal faith and in our love for this parish community. And may the two of these things lead us to salvation. That is my prayer. The people of God said,